Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel once again. And in this video, I'm going to be talking about why Russia's arms exports are collapsing and what the repercussions of this will be over the next decade or so. So there was a fascinating study published yesterday, it being the 13th day of March, by the Stockholm Peace Research Institute, or SPRI. And it tracked Russian arms sales since 2018 and compared them to the previous few years. So Russia's share of world arms sales have contracted considerably since 2018. Now, notice it's the share of the sales, not the actual numbers, because, of course, world arms sales go up some years, go down some years. It's their slice of the pie we're looking at. And then there's also inflation, because what $1,000 will buy you in 2018, it wouldn't buy you in 2019, cost a bit more. And then we had the pandemic, which made things a bit wonky, not as many things being produced. People were so afraid of the disease, they wouldn't even fight. Remember, even ISIS advised its terrorists to stay away from Europe because coronavirus was so fatal. And it was only when, interestingly, when coronavirus didn't perhaps seem that serious, November 2020, that Azerbaijan attacked Armenia. But anyway, so if you go from 2014 up to 2018, Russia sold 22% of all arms in the world. But if you look at the subsequent few years, 2018 up to and including 2022, Russia sold only 16% of all arms. So a 6 percentage points fall. But that's also very significant, because, you know, that's a fall of quite a lot, of about a third, really. Anyway, so it's going to carry on falling, partly because the Russian armaments industry has to prioritize equipping the Russian army, air force and navy, because they've lost so much. It's thought they've lost something like a third of their tank fleet in Ukraine. The tanks they're getting out of storage, these are T-62s. They're called 62 because they're first produced in 1962. By 1970, they move on to the T-72. So these are real museum pieces. And they've not lost that many aircraft. One of the notable and perhaps puzzling things is how Russia has been so circumspect about its air force. If they'd thrown all their air assets at Ukraine on the first day, yeah, they would have lost a couple hundred planes, but they would have annihilated the Ukrainian Air Force, and they would have had air superiority, and they haven't done it. So they've held back on that. They've not suffered their Air Force has suffered that much, actually. And I thought the Ukrainians, I mean, I would have commandos crossing the border to destroy planes on the ground, because it's just such a high priority. Because even the cheapest plane is tens of millions of dollars. But so they didn't have to replace too many planes. They've only had to replace about three ships. Only one was quite large, the Moskva. But it's really ground forces. So it's tanks, artillery, you know, to some extent, small arms, rockets, missiles. They're very low on missiles, which is why using the Kinjal ones, which are extremely expensive. And in fact, it's very wasteful to do that. They're being so profligate because I suppose they've got very little left in the arsenal. So they've often been caught selling shoddy goods to whoever it was, to their customers in the past few years. And often the thing they receive does not match the description on the bill of trade. So there are other reasons why people are going to not be purchasing Russian arms in such significant quantities in future, because they've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. They've proven to be markedly inferior to their NATO analogues, because remember, Ukraine is largely fighting now with North Atlantic Treaty Alliance Organization manufactured weapons. Right, they had quite a few Soviet era weapons, particularly tanks, planes. Quite a few of those have been destroyed. They're increasingly going to be replaced with NATO ones. Admittedly, no one's actually committed to providing NATO fighter jets. The British are training the Ukrainian pilots on their fighter jets. Well, that's a bit useless if you don't actually provide them. So I think they'll probably make that decision in the next few months. The Americans say they're not going to give their fighter jets, but they could change their mind. And then what else? They've been given some NATO-manufactured helicopters, the Ukrainians, not very many, at least three by the British. But it's somewhat redolent of Gulf War 1991, when there are various countries led by the United States, the Coalition of the Willing, Italy, France, some of the Arab countries like Morocco, Egypt, obviously Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and goodness knows who else, the Coalition of the Willing, to liberate Kuwait against the Iraqi army. The Iraqi army was almost entirely Soviet equipped through the 80s, despite being anti-communist. Saddam Hussein, who decimated the Iraqi Communist Party, he purchases weapons from the Soviet Union, and the USSR completely betrayed their communist comrades in Iraq, allowed them to be tortured up, to round up, tortured, executed, never spoke up for their communist confrères in Iraq. But nevertheless, that Airland Battle 2000, that was the American doctrine, proved the enormous superiority of Western manufactured weapons over whatever the Soviets could manufacture. You know, Iraq had a million strong army, battle hardened. They'd almost all veterans of the war against Iran. And even so, against often unblooded troops from other Arab countries and NATO countries, the Iraqis were bested. This is really just the technology gap. So, you know, NATO weapons, they tend to be faster, they tend to be more accurate, more longer range. They have other things, night sights built into the better communication systems, and on and on and on. Sometimes less fuel efficient, thicker armor, greater interoperability, all sorts of advantages, often just better maintained, less likely to break down. But they're a lot more expensive usually. They're often heavier. So the biggest single customer for Russian armaments is the Republic of India. However, the Indians have also been buying fewer Russian arms than in previous years. It's gone down and down almost every year. About 39% of Russian arms exports go to China. But the second biggest customer is actually Egypt. Okay. But they'll probably be buying less for economic reasons. The Chinese will be less able to afford them. The Chinese, are they gearing up to attack Taiwan? We shall see. Notably, Argentina's just bought this sort of amphibious ship, as in whatever, landing ship. But are they wanting to attack the Falklands again, or the Malvinas, as they call it? Perhaps they've sensed an opportunity that Britain is so busy arming Ukraine, has given away so much equipment to Ukraine, we can't defend the Falklands. I mean, if I were the UK government, I'd be sending a few thousand troops to the Falklands to have a dissuasive effect on the Argentines, unless they tried to seize Las Malvinas, as they like to call it. Okay. Anyway, so this Stockholm Institute for Peace Research, it looks these figures over 5-year timescales, because there's too much annual volatility. So it's not very useful to look at it from year to year. You see longer term trends. The United States is also weighing in, and they're trying to talk people out of buying weapons from Russia. It's somewhat succeeding. You know, orders from Indonesia and Egypt have been cancelled, and it's probably due to Uncle Sam twisting their arm. Now, the sanctions have hurt the Russian arms industry, because they're not able to buy the components that are vital to some of their arms. What else? So arms sales are also important for the Russian economy, and their cruciality is even more so because this oil cap has been in effect for a few months now. The oil cap might be tightened down even more. There might be a gas cap, and a lot of Western countries were just buying fewer anyway, buying none, phasing out completely, like the United States and UK. So therefore, even more of the economy is going to depend on arms sales, and that's not going to happen. The one advantage of Russian arms is that they're the lowest end of the market, of the price range. So, you know, France is the third biggest arms exporter in the world, and it's increased its arms sales notably over the past 5 years. Russia is still the second biggest arms exporter after the United States, but it looks like France will overtake Russia. And it's just in a downward trend. So if current trends continue, yeah, France is going to overtake. Now, Ukraine was the world's third biggest importer in 2022, importing 2% of all arms in the world. Surprised that low, really. And most of these are from Western European countries, somewhat the United States. So, European Union countries have increased arms imports 47% in 2022, mostly from the United States. A real bonanza for military manufacturing in the United States. Well, what fascinating trends. Anyway, please subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Thank you. Goodbye.